Okay, so let's get down to it. Mizmor Samachay. Mizmor Samachay is a new Mizmor. Lamatzech, Mizmor Lamatzech. Mizmor LeDavid Shir. Okay, for the conductor. A Mizmor LeDavid Shir. This is a song. Why are we calling this a song? We have to see. Lecha. 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 Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvarai. Okay, l'cha dumiyos sehila. To you Hashem, silence. Silence is praise. Elokim b'tzion, Hashem is b'tzion. L'cha unto you, yishulam neder. To you Hashem will be fulfilled the vows. What is the context of this mizmar? So as we do all the time, we have over here a very wide spectrum of interpretations as to what is the context of the Mizmar. So first, let's look at the Mitzudois David. We always start with the Mitzudois David, not always, usually. And the Mitzudois on page, where is it? Page 552. I don't see it on 552, 553. Okay, so he doesn't really say anything. Let's look at the Malbim. Okay, just jumping around, seeing what I marked off on my page. The Malbim on page 553, Lametzeh Chusad al Birchas Hagishamim, Asher Nosan Hashem Acherei Haruav, V'Yuchal Liyosh Shohayi al Haruav Shoy B'Mei David Shalay Shalom K'mo Shukasa B'Sof Shmuel. There was a drought for 3 years in Eretz Yisrael, the end of Sefer Shmuel, and when the drought came to an end. And David composed according to the Malbim.
You're okay.
According to the Malbim,
yeah.
This mizmar was composed to give praise to Hashem for bringing the drought to an end, and that requires us to really go back to the Sefer Shmuel and study the context. Of what happened there, of why there was a drought, what was the Avera, what was the Tshuva, and then right, the sense, and David made a mistake, even a Tinoika Shal Beshav, even a child, it's very appropriate for Lag Bomer, a day Lag Bomer very much associated with children, it's very much a children's holiday, and David made a mistake with something even a child knows, that you're not allowed to count people, and he counted them, and because of that there was a magefa, there was a lot of things going on. We have to go back and study the context much more, and that's important because of vocabulary. This is where it's being drawn from. This mizmor is composed in honor of the salvation, so the vocabulary and the ideas are all going to be drawn from that story. This is what it says in the Malbim. Now let's see what it says.
This is what David said,
Yeah.
Because he let Hashem punish us and not human beings.
He let Hashem.
That's from Shmuel.
That's from Shmuel, right. Hashem gave him a choice. Right, Hashem gave him a choice how he would be, what the different options of how Hashem can punish Jewish people, and David selected a magefa, I think. I don't remember all the details. I have to go back and study that to get a better appreciation of how it ties into this. Okay, that's one interpretation. Other interpretation is look what it says in the Rid on page 552. Lametzech middle David Shir Kein Shira Amar David Zeh Hamizmar Lufnei Habari. He doesn't say anything. The Rid just says this is a general song, a song. No, he does not want to attach this mizmar to anything specific. Not like the Malbim, just general song. If you go look, go with Pasuk Beis, go to the next, read Pasuk Beis in the Rid, on page 5 or 2. Continue. L'cha dumi l'si l'fish in case l'shiv chacha v'hamar b'shiv chacha ena el goreya b'avur zeh hashtika hi l'cha l'si. We'll get in a second. Silence is the praise. V'chol ikara shel mizmar zeh loy amoroi David el l'saper shivcha shel habari. The only purpose of this mizmah is just pure praise to Hashem. This is not referring to any specific event. It is a mizmah that is neutral, a general mizmah. So far, generic mizmor of Shevach to Hashem. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak on page 553, Lamnatzeach, HaMizmor Hazeh Ne'emar Al HaGolus. This mizmor said the context is exile. And what is the thing? Vidumia inyan techeles hope. So over here, this is very radical. Even though the Radak is not necessarily from the word radical Mefarshim, he says that we think the word lucha du miya sihila. If you ask the average person, they'll tell you there's no such thing as an average person. That's not a nice thing to say. If you ask a person, generally they'll tell you that the word du miya means silence. That it's better to say less than more. When you want to talk about Hashem's praises, don't try to overdo it, because the more you try to overdo it, the more you're going to leave out. You have to, it's an art to know exactly how to praise Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanayra. Okay, we have those four words. And we have those four words, Kel, Gadol, Gibor, V'Hanayra. And Chazal said, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said those words, we would not allow to say even those words. This ties into the sugya of what we do on Pesach. On Pesach, we give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the word dumia ordinarily means less is more, silence. Along comes the Radak, nope, that's not what it means in this context. The word dumia means hope. Doim la Hashem v'hischoilelo. Have hope. Dom means a yearning. A techeles is a steady yearning for Hashem. Now, there you'll say there, doim la Hashem v'hischoilelo, according to some of the commentators, it means quiet.
Well, you can combine them.
It's a quiet hope.
Quietly, rather than yelling and screaming.
Right. So the Mefarshim overlap. It all depends. What are you giving the ikar? But doim, the word doim, either you can simply say it means quiet, silence. Has kol basa miponai. Will everyone please mute yourselves? Okay, quiet. Or the word doim also has a flavor of yearning, waiting. And Rabbi Michal saying you combine the two translations together, it means to wait quietly. You combine the two together. So if you want to translate the word doim, wait quietly, but you have to acknowledge that there are two different parts of the word doim. It either means quiet or wait. So according to the Radak, the primary focus of the word doim in this pasuk is to wait. L'cha to you, dumia, waiting, hoping, yearning, sihila is praise. That's the way you praise Hashem. You wait for Hashem. You yearn for Hashem. Wait, I'm not in any rush. I have all the time in the world. Afal pi sheyismamea im kol ze achak eloi b'chol yom sheyavo. That is the ultimate praise of Hashem. For a person to patiently wait, I could tolerate all of, you know, someone wants to cut the line, someone wants to do this, okay, it's okay. I'm going to wait my turn until it comes. A person who behaves in such a manner, this is the ultimate sihila.
In contrast, I remember once my rabbi said, you know, those people who scream, we want Mashiach now, they call it infantile.
Wow, three said? Okay,
I'm a big fan.
Okay, right. That statement, knowing you're a child, we want Mashiach now, we want Mashiach now. It's very nice. As you get older, it's very problematic for many, many reasons.
Hashem is on his schedule, not ours.
Right, but see, this, you have to appreciate that for children, everyone on their level,
immediate gratification.
Everyone on their level has a different. For children, that's what's appropriate. Say for children. People, they get very worked up, and they say, they're very. I'm not chashav of Reb Shlomo Kalbach is kodesh kadoshim. Okay, this is where he sat. We're mamish in his dalat amos. We're here in his dalat amos. That's what Reb Shlomo Kalbach was saying. I've no doubt. He was saying that for an adult, not to mature and understand, that's a very nice song for children, and it's very appropriate for children, because on their immature level of understanding, that's how they have to be taught about Mashiach. But as you get older, you have to develop and appreciate it's much more complicated than that. And such an expression for an adult is not the best thing. It's not, it lacks a certain degree of sophistication in understanding that you're not the boss now. We want, you could want all you want.
Is it a want or a need?
It's a both, whatever you want to say. It's very good. Children, you have to get, you gotta mature, and you can't watch Sesame Street your whole life. Okay? If someone, they're 80 years old, is watching Sesame Street, we got a problem here. Okay? You have to. Now you can't watch the Sesame Street anymore because they gone woke. The whole world, the Ribbono Shel Olam has removed this amazing things that were such classics. Such classics. Today it's like mamash treif. It's unbelievable what has happened to this world. These meshugoyim have destroyed mamash the machriv the
welt. Don't worry, people are getting very tired of it.
They are. I don't see. What? Coronation? You know, I said go off the track. You know, no. Let me see. I'm gonna call it. How many people? How many people in the world are lefties?
Lefties?
10%. That's what they say on the internet.
Hardcore, yeah.
Can't trust anything on the internet. Everything is bad. Who? How many people are born as lefties who use their left hand? That they say this is a baby.
That's what you meant?
Yeah, lefty. No. You have a one-track mind. It's true. I agree. Look at this cop. Look at this cop. So not fair, this cop. This cop, Rav Meir explained to me, is tall in the back and short in the front. Why is this? Why? No, so that when you drink, the aroma, you should be nene from the aroma of the coffee. That's how it's made. Regular cup, you know, this cup, it's neutral. It's neutral, non-binary. It's neutral. But this cup, it's tall in the back and it's low in the front. For what purpose? So that when you drink and you bend it, the aroma should go, you should inhale the aroma. It's a chokhmah. It's a very big chokhmah. Problem is, where is the ear? Where is the ear? Where is the handle? On the right side. Oh, excuse me, I'm a lefty. So Meir, you got me the wrong cup. You should got me a lefty version of the cup. Okay, so now, you know, if you turn around, then you don't get the aroma. It doesn't work. It doesn't work if you turn around. That's the whole purpose, that it goes up. So how many people in this world are like me? About 10 to 15% are lefties. So let me ask you, why don't we all get up, all the lefties, and destroy the world? Because we're entitled. Entitlement. A whole 90% of the world? What about me? I'm more important than the whole world. We should get up and literally destroy the world. Everyone should wear on a name tag, righty, lefty. You know, you have to give covered. Lefty lives matter. We should get billions of dollars of federal funding. Lefty lives matter. Why don't we destroy the world? These Mishugoyim, they're 3%. 3% of the population, people who believe in these Mishugasim, and they've come, you would manage to think, and you walk in the street, they're 95% of the population. Only 10%. Behave yourself. You're 10%, every single thing in this world is made for a righty. This computer is for a righty. Everything is on the right side. In a car, the pedals are for righties. The whole world, why? Because you're only 10%. Learn how to exist with your situation. So why do these Mishugoyim, who's only 3% of the population, they dominate the world. They control the world. You walk into a doctor's office, the doctor has to go and verify. It's more important. A medical student told me, the Pemole, that when they have a new patient, the first thing that you have to verify is not the person's name. You may give the wrong medicine to the wrong person. Not the person's age, not their date of birth. The first thing you have to verify is their gender. Their pronouns. And because they should feel comfortable, so you have to first tell them what your pronoun. Excuse me, I'm a lefty. Why don't we go destroy the whole world? It's unbelievable. Okay, I'm getting too passionate about nonsense. But l'cha dumia tsehila, this pasuk, maybe it was. L'cha dumia sihila. The word dumia means hope, yearning. Doim la Hashem v'schalalo. Quiet, quiet. Don't make noise. Being quiet and being tolerant. This is the greatest praise. Who, by the way, it's very appropriate that we're learning this today on L'Ag BaOmer. Who was the one with the ultimate concept of l'cha dumia sihila? Rashbi. Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai Koy L'choy. Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai, isn't it spinning in your head the whole night? Dumia, because Rashbi was persecuted. Rashbi was persecuted. He was a wanted man. The government, the Romans wanted to kill him because he said something nasty about the government. He was not, I don't know how outspoken was. He spoke and he said that everything the Romans do.
At that point he wasn't dumia. He was...
He publicly, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai said that the Romans are wonderful people. They're the Maaseim Shel, the Maaseim are absolutely excellent. They are fantastic. They provide the world with Chesed, Elyon, what they do for the world. What they've contributed to the world is superb. Rabbi Yossi was silent. And Rashbi, he said, everything that they do is shaloi l'shem shamayim. They build bridges to collect taxes. They build bathhouses for zinus. He put a negative twist on everything that the goyim do. He was not tolerant of anything. And what happened? The word got out to the government, and the government says this person has to be eliminated. And he went and he hid in the Beis Medrash. And then he said to his son, you know, your mother is going to give away, they're going to torture her. Noshem, he's the one that said, by the way, Noshem died in Kalos. If you want to give credit, what credit is due. Noshem, Daitan, that's why the women don't go to the bonfires. No, I'm just joking, they do. Noshem, Daitan, Kalos, they're going to go, they're going to take her, they're going to torture her, and she's going to reveal our secret morning kollel. So therefore, we have to go into a cave. We have to go into hiding, and he went into hiding for 13... For what?
Are not being arrested
because there's nothing to get.
Well, they won't know that until they torture.
No. They'll kill him. Everyone. They'll kill everyone. It's not, so at least let him be safe. I don't know. Yeah, I hear the question. It's a kasha. Let's put the kasha aside. But he went and he sat in a cave for. He tolerated this torture for 13 years. He was silenced. Basically, he was deplatformed. Okay, they removed him. He was obviously a very influential person. He said what he felt. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai disagreed. Rabbi Yossi was quiet. He obviously, the fact that the Romans wanted to kill him, he was a person of enormous influence. He had a platform to preach to the world. And he said, everything that these people do is evil. Don't be impressed. Don't be so impressed with all the beautiful things that they're doing over here. He saw a dark side to everything that they did. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai disagreed. Okay, Rabbi Yossi was neutral. And the government could not tolerate criticism. They could not tolerate it. It bothered them. How could you say that about us? They could not tolerate it. There must be truth in what he said. Okay, obviously, Elu V'Elu is love. And what did they do? They did what they do today, is they censored. No free speech. You cannot talk like that. There was no free speech in the time of the Romans. You disagree with us, you criticize us, you're eliminated. And because of that, he was, like they would say today in the 21st century, he was deplatformed. You go into one underground. Underground. You didn't hear a sound from him for 13 years until all of the administrations completely passed over, and all the people who wanted to eliminate him were removed from society. Okay, so what did he do? Did Rashbi quit? Okay, did Rashbi throw in the towel? No. He just waited it out. He waited it out until they all passed. He didn't go and just, you know, just, I don't know, disappear. He was heard from after this was all over. He returned. Rashbi, when after 13 years, he returned to society with a bang. And he became, world famous. Ad Hayom Hazeh, look what's going on in Lag BaOmer. Look, so he didn't take the silencing. He was silenced. Some people, when they're silenced, you never ever hear from them again. He was silenced, but he just waited it out. He waited out for 13 years and then returned to society. And then we have from Rashbi today, I was learning about Rashbi today, Lag BaOmer, we have from him over 2,000 Mamori Chazal. This Kemat, not a thing. Oh, we talked about it a little later on, but Rashbi, why is Rashbi so celebrated? You know, always like a little bit disturbed. What's this? Like, you know, why not Rabbi Akiva? Why not Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do we make such a big deal about Rashbi the whole night, the singing over and over, like mamash OCD? He had five Talmidim. I would say Rabbi Meir, I thought, would be. Right?
Yeah. If you look at his political views and his
terms, it's true.
It's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Is it?
Yeah, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai spoke against the government just like Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva didn't speak about the government. What do you hear Rabbi Akiva talking about in the government? He was Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba. Okay, I hear. Okay, he's part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Bar Kokhba was a rebel. Okay, I hear you're saying something that needs research. You're looking at it's very, very true what you're saying is that when we study the Gemara, we only focus on their Torah. We don't focus on their political leanings, their political agenda.
Personality, he left his wife for 14 years.
24
years. For
13 years. He left his wife for 13 years. Rabbi Akiva left his wife for 24 years. So you say that they both left their wives. They both were rebels against the government. Rabbi Akiva was the biggest supporter, the biggest promoter of Bar Kokhba, who openly defied to the greatest degree possible the Romans. Rashbi openly defied the Romans. They wanted to kill him. They both left their wives. And they both were involved in Sisrei Torah. How do you know? How do you know? Because Rabbi Akiva, they were both teachers. Rabbi Akiva, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim, and what did he see? Right. He saw Hashem tying crowns on the Oseos. And Moshe says, what's this? Now, the tagin that are on the Oseos is the spitz of Sisrei Torah, represents the secrets of Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's this? What's this? So Hashem says there's going to be a person many years from now. His name is Akiva ben Yosef, and he's going to expound Tal Talim Shel Halachas in each one of the Tagim of the Yosef. Let me see him. Hashem let him see him. Moshe went to his shir. He didn't understand a word that he said until he said Halacha leMoshe Misina. He had Nechama. So Taka, you see that Rabbi Akiva was Oisik in Sisrei Torah. Rashbi, the whole Sisrei Torah comes from Rashbi. So Ramey is saying a very good idea that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, already we have found three examples of similarities between Rabbi Akiva and Rashbi. Very good. I would think off the bat that Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is the Mishnayis, Stam Mishnas, Rabbi Meir, all the halachas. Okay, but Rashbi, I saw today, this morning, we have today from Rashbi over 2,000 Ma'amari Chazal. And basically every famous Maimar Chazal you ever heard of, you know who said it? Rashbi. Every famous, I'll give you an example. Rashbi. He represents Shemen Sosa Mechaverecha. He, from all of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, is the Gemara. We see from this, he is the representative. He is the one that was the greatest influence, it seems. Every Maimar Chazal, there are three things that are acquired through Yisurin. What are they? Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba, and Torah. Who said that? Rashbi. And you go one after another. Every famous Maimar Chazal came from Rashbi. Rashbi was also the Dubna Magid of the generation. Rashbi has so many Mishalim. Sometimes I'll tell you a Mashal. Who says this Mashal? You'll say, the Dubna Magid says. No, you know who said the Mashal? Rashbi. Rashbi was the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid is someone who appeals to everyone. The common man appreciates a good Mashal. Every famous Chazal, Rashbi, you don't have to come on to Sisrei Torah. Rashbi is, it really represents the living Talmud, a person who in him you see a living example of Torah Shebal Peh to a very, very large degree. Getting back, so Rashbi, he was silenced and he waited it out. Many people who are silenced, you never ever hear from them again. They're silenced, they go underground, they disappear. What happens to them? Whatever, they retire and they go to Florida, they go somewhere, you never hear from them. Rashbi was silenced for 13 years, and during those 13 years, he developed to a Talmud Chacham of stature that is beyond comprehension. And when he came out of that cave after 13 years, he resumed his teaching of Torah in a way that has lasted. How many years has it been since Rashbi passed away? 1,500 years, maybe a little more. Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, his koyach of what he has given over, every single Maimah Chazal, all of the Yisoidus of Yadus are said in his name. Could you imagine? He was quiet, he was silenced, but he took that time as a time to wait and to hope and develop to become even greater and greater. And the proof is in the pudding. Just because someone silences you doesn't mean it's over. It's just a time for the person to go like a sabbatical, to develop, to become even greater. L'cha to you, Hashem, dumia, to hope and wait in silence, sihila. That is a sign of true greatness. This pasuk, to a very nice degree, defines Rashbi. I always tell you this drush. I saw this drush once upon a time. It made a very big impression on me. I wasn't planning to say it today. I appear to have a lag volume in the second part. But this drush, I probably told you last year. Why? What's shemen? Shemen sasen mechaver. I told you this idea I saw. Every liquid that is poured, everything in this world makes noise. That there's no such thing in every time there's motion. Motion is noise. Anything that moves, it's a mitzius in the Welt. Anything that moves makes noise. Liquids move. A solid doesn't move. A solid is stationary. A liquid moves. Water, it pours. Oil, you can pour oil. You can pour orange juice. You can pour a cup of coffee. Every single liquid in this world, as it moves, it makes noise. And its compositions, chemical composition, makes it such that it produces a different sound. Which liquid in Chazal makes the most noise? Water. Water makes the most noise. I go to Niagara Falls, you have to wear earplugs. You have to have ear protection because the sound of the water coming down is so loud, it's deafening, it's dangerous for your ears. Which liquid makes the least noise?
Olive oil.
In Chazal's terminology, olive oil, when you pour olive oil, it doesn't make a sound. Kol Hashem al Mayim. Kol Hashem al Mayim Rabim. When we talk about sound, it's always al Hamayim, because water makes noise. So, you know, it's very sad. People who want to cry and don't want to hear their children to hear them cry, what do? They go into the bathroom, they turn on the faucet. You ever hear that? I remember hearing someone a hesped, an almana, someone who a child. A child, right? You don't want to be overheard. Are you bring right, like spies?
Yes.
Spies. You have to
look.
Those the spy books. Mayor does all the time when he communicates with, you know, his foreign intelligence committee. You have to go into the bathroom and you turn on the water and there's noise, and that noise is an interference. Every liquid makes noise, but oil makes no noise. Bar yochai moshachta. You are deserving of the pouring of oil. Silence. Why? Because l'cha dumia sihila. I always found this to be very true. I don't know if you, I tell this to people. Yes, sir, I told this to you before, is that you look around in society and you see there are certain people that Hashem selects to be leaders of Klal Yisrael. They're elevated. They're in very powerful positions. And they have resources, money, people give them, they have an incredible influence. And they're elevated to, you know, a very chashur position in Klal Yisrael, whether they're Rosh Yeshivas, whether they're Askanim. You know, people come and go, different leaders come and go. And you have to be a maimon to believe that Hashem selects people who he wants to be in these positions of leadership. How do they get there? You look at these certain people, how do they get, how did this person become the head of this organization who controls an enormous amount of money and has enormous influence? How did he get there? What he, from the time he was a child, he was in the organization, he worked his way up and he had his goal. You know, there were a lot of people that were in like that. You have to have a moon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts in position people who he wants to be at the top. And you look at these people and you wonder, why them? Why? They're not so smart. They're not such big darshanim. They're not orators. They're not this, not that. How did they get there? Why did Hashem select these people to be in a position of leadership? So I have a theory, and I believe it's true. And the Hashem picks people who know how to keep secrets. People in these people in the very top, the amount, the information, the secrets that come into their head is astonishing. Astonishing what people what they hear about. People are sitting there, these rebbes, some of these rebbes, people come into them and they tell them things you can't even believe. They what goes on, what they hear of Aaron Shacht, he should be good and well for Shlema. The secrets that come into that come into his head, what people come and tell him every day, what goes on, is just astonishing when you get a little of a glimpse of what's going on. And yet they don't tell a soul. They don't tell a soul. They keep it all in their head, mouth shut. Even their wives don't know a thing that's going on. Not a thing. I was once talking to someone, talking to a person who also knows quite a bit. I was talking to his wife, and from the conversation that we're talking about, it was very apparent that the wife knew nothing about something very, very mamish, no, nothing. The husband's dealing with this heavy, heavy matter. Zero. It's very clear. She knew from nothing. He doesn't tell a soul. He deals with all these things. It's a koyach of silence. To know how to keep your mouth shut. It's an incredible koyach. L'cha dumia sihila. It takes one to know one. Davra Melech over here is saying about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, again, you can twist this word in many different ways, but the Iker translation of the word Dumia means quiet. Quiet. Person that can keep a secret is deserving of oil on his head, because oil doesn't make any noise. It is a liquid that moves and doesn't make a sound. That is a unique quality. The koyach to know when to be quiet, when to keep information a secret, and to quietly yearn for the moment when the right time, when you'll be able to open up and give over to Klal Yisrael what they need to hear. There's a lot of power in this concept of dumia, of being quiet and hoping. So far, what do we do over here?
It says, Lo barash Hashem, it's a meniliyahu.
Cold mamadaka.
And then suddenly,
the mama, the same exact word. Call the mama daka.
So now Hashem is coming.
The mama. You don't have to say anything. Just your presence. Okay, so far we've learned over here what is this, and there's one more parish of what this mizmah is talking about. I marked it down over here. Let me try to find where I wrote it or where it is. There's one more parish of what the purpose of this mizmah is. Let's see where is it? Where is other parish? I can't find it. So I'll have to. Here it is. I got it. The Ibn Ezra. Okay, we don't too often learn Ibn Ezra on page 555, where it says the Zeha Mizmer. It's in the middle of the first paragraph in the Pasuk Dalit. It took him until the Ibn Ezra said what it's about. The Zeha Mizmer, Chibroi Hamishorer Bishnas. Batsoires. That's pretty much what it said in what we learned in the Malbum. The time of Batsoires is famine. V'spalel el Hashem v'shama tefilosei Hashem. Listen to his prayer.
So you said 555 in the Ibn Ezra?
Yeah, 555 in the Ibn Ezra. In the Kol Pishoinu, in the middle of Pasuk Dalet. Al Kol Pishoinu, v'zeh ha-mizmor, chiburoi ha-mishorer, b'shnas Batsoires. In years of famine. So sach hakol, we have here, I believe, three mahalchim. Three mahalchim as to the context of the mizmar. Number one was, we said from blessed, the Malbim, the Ibn Ezra, Arishon, and the Malbim, the more recent Acharon, they both say the same thing on this page, is that this mizmar was said to thank Hashem, David HaMelech, at the end of David's life, there was a famine for 3 years. And after this, the famine came to an end, he said this mizmah. But you can say the same thing now. We're now the WHO, not that I'm a big fan of that organization, the World Health Organization. It's just to say those words, you have to rise clear. Just to say those words, the WHO, at least declared this week that Corona is over. That's what they said, right? Didn't they say that? Even though the world doesn't want to accept that, and there are many agencies that say, we're going to be machmir, it's not over yet. And the Rahman was telling the people that are very, I know someone now has Corona right now. He's very, very sick. So in a Hanami, it's not really over, but you know, it comes a point in time to go weiter, and you know, it's been 3 years. And if there's a haskamas ha'om, think about this, if we had real good leadership, if we had, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael suffers from a lack of leadership, if we had strong leadership, don't you think it would be now a proper time for Klal Yisrael to, on the one hand, have a massive azkara for all the people who are nifter in during these last 3 years, and at the same time have a yom tif to give shevach vayda that everyone else survived. Everyone here in this room is a survivor.
But there's still people dying from conditions of COVID.
Absolutely, but you got to go on at some point in time. Right, I'm just saying is in the Welt, in the world, I told you, I know someone now that's very, very sick, has Corona right now, they're very sick, they're very worried about him, he's in the hospital. Corona. I mean,
COVID.
I'm sorry, what am I saying? Whatever, it's all the same thing. COVID-19. So, you know, there are diseases, we're talking about a threat to the Welt, the whole world. Okay, the whole world. There was a haskamas ha'om, that the world is a matzav of sakana. And we all know too well all of the restrictions, all of the gezeiros that were put upon society by organizations who have decided that they control the world, okay? By the World Health Organization and by the United States, America, they both very recently this week, the World Health Organization this week said it's over. The United States last week said it's over. You do whatever you want. I mean, there are many diseases. Just because the people, you know, there are many pandemics. They're still around, these
they're
things.
Not saying
the pandemic. It's a pandemic on a global scale. So if there's a haskamas ha'om, look at what it says in this mizmar. In the time of David HaMelech, there was about Cyrus for 3 years. There was a famine for 3 years. The whole world had been wiped out. Starvation. It came to an end. What did David do? People are still starving. Just because it came to an end, people are still starving. There are people all over the world that don't have what to eat, whatever. There are many pockets of people that don't have what to eat. What did David do? If in the Welt it's over, Lamnatseach Mizmar LeDavid Shir. We give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem that we survived, at least those that are here. And at the same time, you have to say Yizkar for those that did not survive. So don't you think this week, if the World Health Organization, who is an entity that no one elected, no one appointed, but for some reason has clout in this world, which I don't understand why, none of my business, if they have declared that the pandemic is over after 3 years, don't you think that Klal Yisrael, who leads the Or Lo'amin, should get up and should organize themselves and say, Lamnatseach Mizmar LeDavid Shir?
But the Malbim is saying what he's saying, but he's saying a little bit different, because he did, who said, Al-Birchas HaGishamim. In other words, we got Gishamim after the drought.
Okay. It's the same idea. You're splitting hairs here. There was a Batsoires.
There was something that came good afterwards that he was able to do a Lamnatseach, a Shir on. It wasn't just that.
It's every situation is different, but there was a famine.
V'hispalel el Hashem v'shama tefilah. So it came to an end. It doesn't say the rain. It came to an end. What does it say? What does it say? That was the Ibn Ezra. What does the Malbim say? Okay, the Malbim, he says that it's pretty much the same idea. The Malbim of Samachay, Husar al birkas hagishamim asher nosn Hashem acharei harav v'yuchal liyoy shahoye al harav shoy b'mei David sholoy shanim. There was a famine. There was a famine for 3 years, and Hashem had rachmanis, it came to an end. You learn from Tehillim that when a tzara comes to an end on a global scale, lam natzeach mizmar l'David shir.
It's like
Ba'omer. What?
Lag Ba'omer is also
stopped. Lag Ba'omer. They stopped dying. Oh, Lag Ba'omer is right. Right, okay, it's true. I mean, they stopped, the Tamir Mekiva stopped, there was a magefa. Okay, you're saying good, there was a magefa. So you have to give shir that we survived. Those you have to, of course, mourn for those who died, and you learn a lesson. You don't see any religious group this week. Yeah. You know how to turn it off?
Too cold?
It's not
Okay, this is a yesoid to learn what a basic takeaway to learn from what it says here in the Malbim and what it says in the Malbim and Ibn Ezra. Okay, that's a quote. Now, what else did we learn? We learned from the Rid. The Rid says nothing doing. This is a generic song of praise. Okay, that's what he said. The Rid on page 552. He said Mizmar Zeh V'chol Ikora on the second on the left side. V'chol ikore shol mizmar ze loy amoro David elo l'saper shifcho shel haboirei. It's a generic song of praise. And then we learn the third interpretation.
Yeah, there is a pasuk. There's two words here.
L'cha u'l'cha. L'cha u'l'cha. Oh, very interesting. L'cha du'miya, so it's part of the Pesach. Generic song. And then we learn the third interpretation from the Radak. And the Radak says, Pasuk Aleph Beis, Hamizma zenemer al hagolus, golus, and the word and he bases the word golus words vidumiyah means in golus we are waiting. Afal pi sheyismamea im kol ze achakeloi bechol yom sheyava. It's the theme of the animamim. The animamim al hagolus vidumiyah inyan toicheles, hope, waiting, a hopeful waiting. It's very hard to translate this word. Hopeful waiting. Kumo diminu elokim chastech. We yearn. We wait for your kindness. Misherish miacheles hatihila from misherish dalid memhei v'chein misherish domom, which means basically to wait patiently and hope for Hashem to bring salvation. Okay, three mahalchim as to the context of this mizmar. Now let's go to the pasuk. So he says, we say a general idea. The means to silence is sehila. We'll explain that what it means in a moment. Elokim b'tzion, Hashem is b'tzion, ulocha and to you yishulam neder. What does tzion and a neder have anything to do with this? Let's see the mitzudas. The mitzudas David says pasuk b'lochod demir sehila. Ritzan elaymar ato Hashem. The mitzudas, by the way, did not tell us. The mitzudas did not tell us the purpose of this mizmar. He usually does so for whatever the reason is. He did not give us a hakdama to this mizmar. And he says, Ritzon Elaymar, Ata Hashem Ashochin Bitzion, you Hashem, and the Mitzvah David learns the word Tzion, you who dwell in Tzion. Okay? Zion. What is Tzion? Well, that's the word Tzion is one of the hardest words to translate, because every time the word Tzion is used, usually it's used in contrast to Yerushalayim. And usually you have to define what exactly is the difference between the word Tzion and the word, the term Yerushalayim. And depending on the context, it can mean different things. Some say that the word Tzion represents Ir David. Within the city of Yerushalayim.
I don't want to be drastic, but it's like I'm totally
on.
wasn't me. I don't get credit for that. I think just,
it has a 2-minute delay.
I think it just, I set the temperature, it took it to.
It's all right. It's not just standard. It's just a
thing.
You get some different things.
Alexa?
We have to learn a little Dharma.
Learn a little very drastic.
More geschmack.
I put on the heat.
Warm up.
Let's see what happens now. I put on the heat.
Show me how to say hours.
Let's see what happens now. Otherwise, I'll just turn off the whole thing.
You have to say day.
I'll just turn off the whole thing.
They turn on the
off.
Remember we said who are they?
Alright, let's see what happens now. Okay, so the Mia, give it 2 minutes until it kicks in. And then if it doesn't work, we'll just take out a rifle and shoot it. We'll put it out of its misery. L'chadumi yasila rash. The mitzvah of it over here says we're talking about Hashem. Hashem is Tzion. Hashem who dwells in Tzion. What is Tzion? So some say Tzion represents Ir David, and Yerushalayim is the larger city. Some say Tzion represents spirituality. It is the ruchnius element of the Yerushalayim is the gashmius of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim. We're talking about Ato Hashem Hashem b'Tzion adumia. Nechsheves l'chol l'sehila dumia, silence is praise. What does that mean? This is the simple interpretation. Ki ein lahagbil es tihilascha. It is impossible to lahagbil, to define, to put in boundaries your praise. Ulechein ein laharbois b'tarm nifa. We cannot be marbe in titles. The more you praise Hashem, the more you're going to leave out. Less is more. This famous Gemara where a person got in front of one of the Amoraim and he said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanayra, Ha'adir, Hakadosh, all these accolades. And then after he finished the Shemona Esrei, he said to him, did you finish? Siamtinu l'shvachei demara. It's all you got? There's nothing. Let's see what happens. I turned it off. I hope it stays off. You know, artificial intelligence, the mind of its own. It's all the hack today. Artificial intelligence, I'm telling you what's going on now. Dumia. You got to see what's going on in technology. Everyone is fully immersed in this new technology. It's unbelievable. Let's see if this guy's artificial intelligence will override me. So Dumia, so the more you say, the more you're going to say, the worse it's going to get. I always tell you this joke. I love this joke, but it's already became stale. Where a guy that comes to a wedding and they call up a certain person and say mechubid, harav, hagoyim, haadir, hamafursim, hakadosh, hatar, rabban shel kol bnei yishol vehagoyle. It goes on and on and on, and he goes again hakoyin, rebbe, ployni, shmoni, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And the guy gets up. In front of the whole wedding, you know, blah, blah, and he shuffles his feet all the way up to the front, comes to the microphone, and before he makes the bracha, he says to the guy, "And Shuldix, I'm not a kohen." So the guy takes the record and says, "And everything else you are?" And everything, that's the only thing you're not. I gave you 25 titles. The only complaint is that you're not a kohen. But everything else you're masking to. You're a goyin, you're a tzaddik, you're an adir, you're a noira, you're a this and that. Okay, so by a human being, it's not mamash a joke. Rabbi Rakefet always says, Al tikre goyin el agun. I said to my brother once, we were talking about a title, but this is not, you know, look at the Matzevis that would over here. They didn't write this about much greater people. Why are you adding this extra title to this person who's a nobody? So he says,
but then they knew it anyway. But
he said to me one word, he said to me, inflation. A new dar, inflation. Today, what, you know, would cost a dollar then, now it costs $10. It was good enough. A reb, now a reb, inflation, harav hagoyin. Okay, there's a whole...
Yeah, one of my grandfathers said that on his matzeva, he just wants his name, and don't give him any things like that, because He said, "Venechlingen dred venechagunish."
You start, one thing you see the difference in this world. You see something I find very interesting, that the one thing you see a difference between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. Say again, I'm sorry, Blaza, what did you say? Yeah, Blaza? You saying something?
No.
Hey, so, one thing you see is interesting, is you go online, you search for the Nusuch of a Matziv by a Goyim. It's unbelievable. You see mamish the chilik between Klal Yisrael and the Umay Soilam. When you see about matzevas, by Klal Yisrael, a matzeva, you know, it's a davar kodesh, and people are pretty careful as to what exactly they write on a matzeva. You know, there's a certain set of rules, and there's a protocol to a degree. By goyim, it's like a joke. It's some of the things that, you know, you go do a Google search. What?
He loved to bowl.
He loved to fish. Gone fishing. Put on the matzeva. Gone fishing. The best one I saw is offline. Offline.
My favorite is still in Union Field. It has "While alive he lived." That's all it says.
While alive he lived. It says a lot. What the writer of Matseva speaks volumes. L'cha dumia sihila. You know, in Kalmar, When Rav Dessler was Nifter, so in Kelm, the minig was, you write nothing on a matzeva, nothing. That was the minig in Kelm. Kelm was the biggest musa yeshiva. From all the musa yeshivas, the most intense musa, doesn't exist today, there's no one from the who worked on the musa was Kelm, which was totally destroyed in the Holocaust, and in Kelm, there was no, on a matzeva, there was nothing. It was a marker where the person is, for Tumas Kehanim. But I think they wrote nothing. And when Rav Dessler, who was the product of Kelm, came to Eretz Yisrael, he was Nifter, he gave a Hatzava that they should write nothing on his Matzeva, like in Kelm. He was a Kelmer. And when he was Nifter, so they asked, you know, they don't write anything on Matzeva, nothing, not even your name, nothing, not even town. So they went to the Gedol Yisrael, who it was at that time, and they said, no, do not listen. Write a regular Choshev Matzeva. You know why? There's no one left in the world that's alive that appreciates the Musar of Kelm. So who are you doing it for? Who are you making a matzeva that's dumir? Nothing. Complete silence. There's no one left. There's no one alive anymore. There's no one left from that generation who understands the meaning of having a blank matzeva. But this pasuk says such a principle. L'cha dumiya si'ila. Silence, that is the greatest praise. Nothing. Silence at times is the greatest praise. Obviously, it doesn't work for everyone, and it doesn't work in this generation. Today, you have to say something. You don't, there's definitely a need, like the Hespedim. Like I went recently to this past summer to Rav Shlomo Bronstein. Right, Rav Shlomo Bronstein, he was the Menal in Chaim Berlin. He was Menal in Chaim with many. I didn't really know him very well, but you know, he was a very, very choshev, very tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was a very humble person. And he told his family, he was sick for a very long time, and he told his family, there could be no hespedim. I don't need this, I don't want this. So he told the Lavaya, so his son, Mendy Bronstein, he asked his father, you know, you have a family of children and grandchildren. It's not about you. It's not about you. We need, the family needs. You can't make us such a tzava. It's not fair to your children, your grandchildren. It's not fair. So he says, okay, what am I going to tell you? But don't make it too long. Don't overdo it. I like the good joke is, I heard this last week, someone was dying, and he said to his son, listen, you want to make a levaya for me? Fine. I'm warning you. If any one of you, my children, speaks for more than 10 minutes, I'm getting up and walking out. So just remember that. Just remember that. Okay, now getting over here serious. Over here he says that the best thing is to say less. Less is more. When you come to praise Hashem, the more you're going to praise Hashem, the more you're going to mess up. And that's the Pshutoi Shel Mikra of this pasuk. Now this, and over here he says, everyone's going to struggle very hard to understand what this means. Tzion, Hashem, who resides in Tzion, To you, praise, less is more. And then ulocho, and to you, yishulam neder, ki toshia lahanoidrim b'esara, you pay off those who make vows, v'esara, v'yishulam imkeim haneder. In other words, noidrin be'es tzar. This fits in very well with what we learned in the Radak, that this mizmar was composed in Golos. Yaakov Avinu, when he was running away from Esav, this was the beginning of Golos. Ma'isav Asim Labanim, he was in hot pursuit. Esav was chasing after Yaakov to kill him. He wanted to kill him, send the Levites, and Yaakov Avinu felt threatened, and Yaakov Avinu says, Vayidor Yaakov Neder Lemar. Rashi from Chazal, Mikan Shenoidrin Be'es Tzara. When a person is Tzara, it's a technique that works. You pledge to Hashem, if Hashem, you will get me through this Tzara, you will help me, I will do something that ordinarily would not do. You push yourself to accomplish something in your life that ordinarily you would not do. Ordinarily, I wouldn't go learn this amount, this dafkum, this amount of learning. Ordinarily, I wouldn't say this Tehillim. I wouldn't necessarily do all of these things. But Hashem, I need help. I want something very, very much. If you will go and grant me my wish, I will reciprocate and do something of Kedusha, bring a Kedusha into this world that ordinarily I can say that I ordinarily would not be pushed to do. That's a neder. So here, if this pasuk is discussing the time of Golos, we are in an eis tzara, we are under threat, and we pledge, mikan shenoidin be'eis tzara. So here, David is from l'chot demi elokim, he said, l'chot to you, yishulam neder. You, Hashem, are going to get us through this. What we need to get through, it will be paid to you, the vows, the nedar that we make during the eis tzara. So maybe you want to say over here that according to the Mitzudos David, he's really secretly learning the pshanda psukim like the Radak. We're dealing with a time of tzara, and we're making nedarim, and we're going to fulfill our pledges. Yeah.
I see something else here. Tehillah has a shashelet above it.
Okay.
It's a nat katon.
Okay.
Shashelet is shashelet. Lecha dumiya. Tehillah Elohim b'tzion. B'tzion, you can give as much tehillah l'kadosh baruch hu. Because it's shashelet, it doesn't stop. Lecha dumiya tehillah.
Okay, so you want to put the comma in a different place. Okay, according to you, you're saying a different shot. Okay, so you want to put a hard break after the word l'cha dumia. L'cha dumia, to you I yearn, or to you I yearn. And then you say, Tehillah Elohim b'tzion. All right, I mean, again, the Mitzvah David doesn't say the Mitzvah David. Okay, the Shalshalas, I don't know what the trap is. In Tehillim, the trap is I have no idea how the trap works in Tehillim. It's a whole different ballgame. Okay, I hear you say you're breaking it up in a different way. That's okay. That's another pshat. But the pshuta shel mikra, the way you always hear this pasuk l'cha dumia tzion, you always hear that these three words go together, and that's how the Mitzvah David learns pasuk pshat. You put these three words l'cha to you dumia tzihila. Less is more. Praising Hashem, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibur, Ha'adir, Hanoira, and all these expressions, we don't say these things because the more you're going to say, the more you're going to leave out, and the more you leave out, the more. You give the impression that you know it all, and it's impossible, and it's not proper. Only thing that you can say are the three words, Okel, HaGodol, HaGibor, and that is it. That is it. Elokim b'tzion. Okay, now let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Beis. L'chodumia, this is a very hard Rashi. L'chodumia, Sehila, I'm not going to be able to figure out the whole Rashi, do the best we can. Hashasiko, Tehila, L'choy. So you see, Rashi clearly learns that you put these three words together. Less is more. Shtiga. Rashi clearly defines the word dumia is silence, not praise. It means silence. Lefi she'ein keitz l'shiv chacho. There is no end to your praise. V'hamarbe b'shiv chacho. Anyone that tries to praise Hashem too much, ein elo kigoy rea. And that was the Gemara of the year, that don't go trying to daven for the oven and say all these praises. Elokim b'tzion. Elokim ha'shechein b'tzion. That's exactly what we learned in the Mitzudos. Now, it says over here in the brackets, Matsasi, we have found another version of Rashi. Simu Chavoid, set honor Tehillasai. Lo yoyser midai. Set kavod is praise, not more than elo dumia tehila. Uche meduma, similar to this, halleluhu, be'ema, with fear, b'lashoyn halleluka, shem ben shtei oisios meturgum dechila, means fear. Oziv zimuska, v'yod al keiska. Now, what he's saying over here is, according to the six says Zakenim, okay, I try to figure this out. What he means to say over here is, he's trying to say here, the word dumia means doim ka. We're taking the word dumia and we are breaking it into two different words. Just like, how can you do that? Because we know that yud ke is Hashem. Ki yod al ke ska. Ozi vizimra ska. Halleluka. What is halleluka? It's really two words. Halleluka. Praise Hashem. Rashi is giving us three examples where we find yud ke, these two letters, to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiyal ke ska, ozi vizimra ska, and halleluka. Take that principle, go back to the word dumia, lecha, to you Hashem, dom ka. To you Hashem, or, you know, let me say the other way around like this. I'm going to say lecha dom, period. Ka sihila. Two different principles. There are times when to you Hashem, we have to be silent, but ka, that we can praise. Now, I think what he means to say is like this. Lecha is the whole picture, the whole scope. When you want to go and give Hashem praise, general praise, oh, yud kei vav kei, the Ribbono shel Olam, and we want to praise Hashem, oser, don't you dare, because the more praise you give, the more you're going to leave out. But if you're not coming to praise Hashem in Hashem's entirety, which is thoroughly impossible, you only want to focus on one element, one prat in Hashem, then ka, just to praise a fraction of Hashem's name, oh, sihila, that you can do. He's coming to answer the question. He really says this in the Likut Shas. He says there's a contradiction. Let me just see if it says this the way it says over here. It's a contradiction. Let's say the exact words. I don't even remember where I'm saying this, maybe in the Sifas Zakenim. But the point over here is there's a contradiction. On the one hand, we have an obligation to praise Hashem. On the other hand, we have a principle that don't praise Hashem. You're not allowed to praise Hashem, because the more that you're going to praise Hashem, the more you're going to leave out. So how do we reconcile the contradiction? The answer is, you're allowed to praise Hashem as long as you make it clear that I'm only trying to focus on a teeny little fraction of Hashem. But if you give the impression that when you're praising Hashem, you're praising the totality of Hashem, the entirety of Hashem, that is where it's aser. That you cannot let it go. So therefore, lecha. The word lecha means I want to go and give the ultimate praise. I want to take the Kadosh Baruch Hu in his entirety, and I want to praise him. To you, Hashem, you in your entirety, doim, quiet. How dare you? No one in this world can appreciate even a teeny microscopic fraction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't be a fool to think that you're going to go and give the full praise of Hashem in his entirety. But if you only want to praise a small element, a fraction of Hashem, of Ka, Yud Kei, why is Yud Kei referred to a fraction? Because Hashem's complete name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Just to say Yud Kei, that's only a prat. That's only part of Hashem's name. So that is a symbol. I only want to go focus on this little example. Oh, that's what you want to go do? Ka? Sihila. That you're allowed to do. Then you are allowed to give praise. So here, Rav Kalman, we're breaking up the pasuk in even a more dramatic way than what you suggested. You at least kept the words together. You kept the words, lecha dumia, period. And then you will put together, tehila elokim b'tzion. He's doing even more drama. He's doing lecha doim, period. And then the next, yud kei, ka, okay. Then, sihila, that's a prat, that's going to be okay. How do you know that I come to that? The word yud kei, this is an incredible rash, because this rash over here is coming to reveal to us that whenever you have the word ka, ozi vizimros ka, and you have ki yod kei ska, every time you have the shame ka, it means you're just focusing on an element. one prat of Hashem. You're not trying to give the impression that you're capturing the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's try to read the words inside one more time, this Rashi. L'chadu mi'asila ha'shasik elokim b'tzion, elokim ha'shach b'tzion, yisimu, matzasi, in the brackets. Simu, give honor, sihilo soim. I don't know what that means. Lo yoyser midai, not too much. Ach, what can you do? Dumiya sihila. What does that mean? Uche uch v'chim dume. It appears that it's similar. That this word dumiya is the word is similar to halleluhu, halleluhu be'ema. Fear Hashem be'ema b'loshoyin halleluka. I don't know what's going on. I really make just saying words. It's hard to. Is this? Is Hashem Hashem.
It's similar to other uses of
Hashem's name, a prat. Shem ben shtei oisios. Miturgam, the name of Hashem of two letters is dechila, means fear. The Targum always translates the word ka as fear, which means quiet. Don't praise Hashem in fear. Ozi v'zimras ka, v'yodal keis ka, v'loshen v'gilu, rejoice b'ra'odim with trepidation. Doyme l'zeh. Maybe what I told you was something that was, I just said to you, maybe it was the next part of the Rashi. Dover Acher, another Tosefes, L'cho Dumi Asila, Elokim Bitzion, Es Asher Doimamta Vehecherashta, Al Masha Osu Oivecha Bitzion, this and you, Hashem, were silent on what your enemies did in Tzion, Tehil Hilcho, Shayachel Spiotcha Lehinokim Viata Marach Af. Okay, so this is a different, totally different idea. And this idea he's saying over here is the whole Nupshah in the Pasuk. This that you, he connects Elokim B'tzion, he gives it some context. This that you, Hashem, allowed the enemies to plow over Tzion, destroy your holy place, and be silent, this is an act of Gevurah. Ezehu Gibor HaKoivesh Es Yitzro. Hashem has all the time in the world. Hashem is patient. Hashem felt now is not the time to punish the enemy. It's not the right time. There's a time for everything. You ever see what they do in Israel? In Israel, when Rahman al-Assad, the Arabs, they make these crazy protests. They do terrible things. And they do something very, very bad. The Israelis don't send in the troops and to go and arrest people on the spot when they're doing the crime. They just have cameras. They have video. They have drones and cameras. And they just film everything that's happening. And they let them do what they want to do. They want to go destroy property. They want to go destroy even during Black Lives Matter, during the protests in the summer 2 years ago, New York City, they destroyed police cars. These Michigan, they got in the police cars and they mamish, the cops ran away. They were afraid for their lives. And they got up there and they started smashing the lights and destroyed all these cars. And what did the police do? Nothing. But they were filming everything. Everything was being filmed with drones, every little detail. Okay, well, they're going to go send in policemen to go arrest them. There'll be riots. 2 days later, they show this guy is arrested, and this guy is arrested, and this guy is arrested.
January 6th, as you see.
Right. That's a different. Michal will tell you. That's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. but it's. Oh, it happened. It sure happened. No one's denying that. Okay, but godless is, okay, do what you want. At the end of the day, I'm in control. I remember someone once in the Torah Vedas, in Rav Pam Shir, there was someone who snuck into the smicha class, who didn't belong there. What are you coming into the shir? And make believe, you know, for Shaduchim, you know, I'm in Rav Pam Shir, I'm getting smicha. You don't belong here. So I know a person who went to Rav Pam, a balabas. What are these two guys, what are they doing here? How do they push their way in over here? You know, so Rav Pam said, I know everything you're saying. Listen, at the end of the day, I'm the one who has to sign the smicha. I signed it. If you don't deserve, you don't pay. You don't deserve it. You're not getting this. All right, listen. These kids, they push their way in here. I signed the smicha. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he let the enemies plow over Tzion. Bolts of lightning did not come out of the sky and eliminate the enemy. Hashem has all the time in the world. This is a godless to know how to control yourself and wait for retribution at the proper time. This, that you have to be the pasuk backwards. This, that Elokim b'tzion, you held yourself back and you did not eliminate. This itself is your silence, is tehillah. Because ultimately, ulecha yeshulam neder, you Hashem will pay off. L'cha royal leader. Now the way Rashi concludes over here is l'cha you royal leader neder u'l'shalmo. To you Hashem, it's fitting to vow u'l'shalmo and to pay off your vows to Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate authority in this world, who has all the time in the world and has the full shlita. Okay, we're going to stop here. Okay, we'll do tomorrow. We'll do the Malam tomorrow. We'll do the Malam tomorrow. Yeah, it is. I already wrote it down. Tomorrow we'll do the Malam. We'll continue tomorrow. Take a short break, and I want to talk more about Lag BaOmer. Some.